It's Faith Radio Mornings on the Faith Radio Network, 7:37 on this Wednesday morning. It's time to check in with some good friends of ours and talk about a topic that I'll be paying close attention to, PK.
John and Kendra Smiley are our in-house, if we can call them that, resident experts, perhaps would be better. And this is what we always need help on this, because where do we negotiate? Where do we say, nope, because I said so? Good morning, John and Kendra. Nice to have you with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is an interesting topic, negotiating with your teenager. And you had a listener question ask, what do you think about negotiating with a 16-year-old son? And he says, it feels like I'm giving in when I do. What's your first thought on this, Kendra?
Well, negotiating is different from giving in. And really, negotiating has a lot of positives to it. It really does. The whole key here is something we have said, we write about, and it's the title of one of our books, You Got to Be the Parent. So as the parent, you set the parameters for the negotiation. It's not a matter of an arm wrestling contest.
Right, and it's not a matter of the child manipulating you. And I think that's probably the biggest thing we're talking about here, negotiating or being manipulated. Being manipulated is a negative thing. That's not a good thing. Negotiating, on the other hand, as Kendra said, could be a positive thing.
You know, my daughters take logic in school, and they've tried to use that on us sometimes.
That's an interesting discussion.
Yeah, it's been interesting sometimes.
Well, that kind of is my thought, too. What do you do when your kid is a better negotiator than you are?
Right.
They're more persuasive.
Is that manipulation?
Well, actually, our oldest was this amazing debater. They didn't even have a logic class in high school, so I don't know why he got so logical. But he would do it very unemotionally, and he would lay out all the facts as he saw them, and then he would wait for our response. And it's basically a matter of, in your case and mine, probably too, PK, of saying, okay, now let me analyze those facts. And what I tend to do is just jump right in and be a little more emotional than I would be in a negotiation, let's say, in a business sense.
So it's okay then to say, you know, you make an interesting point. Let me think about that for a few minutes and we'll come back and continue talking.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then you go in your room and go, what did that kid say?
Right.
Did he have me there? And you know what? The other thing to remember too, guys, is that they might have a very, very valid point, something maybe looking at it a different way than you had. That doesn't mean that you immediately say, oh, yeah, well, fine, we'll do it your way. But it's something you want to take a look at.
Right. And I think so much of the time with kids, number one, negotiation turns into manipulation, and they're basically kind of melding the two together, and especially the smarter ones that are good in logic, that are good at negotiating, they know they're basically trying to manipulate a lot of times. So there's a lot of things going on with this. And I think as a parent, you have your goal in mind, and you know things that your kids don't know. If you're taking a stand and they come up with some logical things, if they don't understand the big picture, then that's something that the parent has that the child doesn't have. And so as you're talking about it, they might have some great points, but you as a parent know what the best outcome is. And I think that's the time that as negotiations go on, and again, as a parent, you determine how long negotiations go on. If it ever turns into manipulation, then as a parent, you cut it off and say, nope, you know, that's not the way it's going to be. And so basically this whole thing, if as a parent you have confidence in who you are as a parent and what you're trying to get across, then negotiating is just something that a lot of times it's fun.
Okay, fun.
I
appreciate that, John. I don't know if I ever experienced the fun side of that. It just seemed like it was always a challenge, you know. And the thing that so often happens too with kids is that, at least in our house, it was like, oh, I have to know, like right now, they're on hold, or I have to know because we have to leave in 5 minutes. And then you're just like,
That's always the time to say, nope, can't give you an answer in 5 minutes, because that is a great way to manipulate.
Isn't it?
Oh gosh, I have to do this right now.
Yep.
The time crunch is a huge thing, even with adults to adults.
Yes.
In the whole thing of when somebody's trying to make a sale, well, you know, if you make your choice in the next 3 minutes, we'll do this, this, and this, and all of a sudden, now you're not making a good decision. And kids are very, very smart. And so when they put the time crunch on you, then that is a huge, huge way to manipulate.
Right. The other thing that happens is kids know exactly what will work with each parent. And I think of one episode or incident in our family. Our middle son, he had an accident with the truck, a very big accident.
Uh-oh.
He walked away from it, as did the dog. And I was the only one in the house when he walked up to the house. He actually was some ice on the bridge, right? 16-year-old
mm-hmm.
driver.
Mm,
and
yeah.
he walked up to the house, and the way he introduced that incident to me was he said, "Mom, I have just witnessed a miracle."
Very smart.
Oh, that's...
And the miracle was he walked away from totaling the truck.
Yeah, wow.
But it was so smart because I was like, "Oh, tell me." And he was all hyper spiritual, and I'm like, "Wow, God is amazing." Well, his dad walked in about 2/3 of the way through the conversation. He goes, "What did you do to the truck?" Right? So he knew that wasn't going to work with Dad. But when he began the, in a sense, negotiation over how we were going to handle this incident, he started with a way that he knew would get my heart in a different direction.
Very smart. I like that.
That's pretty good. We're talking with John and Kendra Smiley here this morning on Faith Radio Mornings, discussing negotiating with your teenager. We'll continue our discussion. And if you have a question or comment, we have an opportunity for you to get in on the discussion at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH to participate in this discussion. More with John and Kendra in just a moment. Stay tuned. Kenny Loggins.
Nice.
Yeah, well, we're discussing negotiating. Sometimes you do have to meet your son or daughter halfway in that process. Sometimes you have to say, my way or the highway, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I remember another negotiation. Our oldest son was in 8th grade. Remember, he was the good negotiator. We were at the top of the stairway, and he was going through all the reasons he should be allowed to go to a relatively unchaperoned party, boy-girl party, in a couple of weeks. And he went through all the logical steps of why it was going to be absolutely fine, nothing emotional at all, not like, well, I have to decide in 5 minutes or anything like that. And we just kept saying, or his dad, oh, yeah, John's a much better negotiator, kept saying, no, what about this? And finally, the interesting way it ended was John said, well, I suppose we can let you go, but you have to promise us that if something happens that you know we wouldn't approve of, that you will call us and we'll come and get you. And, of course, we live in a small town, so it's not like he thought, well, they'll never know. You do know.
You know everything.
And, yeah, and so he looked at his dad and went, fine, which is kid talk, right? I guess I lost this one.
And did you ever use the line, too, just remember that Jesus sees everything you're doing?
Oh.
No.
You didn't? Really? I thought that was part of negotiating.
Have you used that line, PK? We need to talk independently on this.
I totally have used that line. I will confess right here.
I got to tell you.
We call that throwing down the God card.
Yeah.
Playing the God card. And, you know, really, we don't do, we don't want to make you feel bad, PK, but we don't recommend that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
No, because, you know, God, knowing what's
that
in God's word.
Usually that ends discussion when you throw the God card out there.
Right, and I'd rather have them be mad at me than mad at God. And so, you know, it's the kind of thing where we all need to know more and more of what God's will is and what's in his word. But, we don't recommend playing that card.
One of the other things when we talk about this, most of the time, not all the time, it's like you said, Ted, you know, sometimes it's, you know, my way or the highway, that you just make a decision on a feeling or you know it's right, it's what's going to be, that's the decision that's going to be made. But most of the time as a parent, when you make a decision, you should be able to back that decision up with good common sense and good, you know, biblical knowledge and stuff. So if somebody called a time out, and they said, okay, why did you make that decision? Give me the reasons. Not your child, but just in, you know, just somebody else stopping in midstream. As a parent, you should be able to sit there and say, you know, this is why I made that choice. And so I think that helps parents just not make decisions off the cuff that aren't good.
You know, let me go back for a minute to the God card. I want to put a little caveat there, and that's, yes, Jesus does see everything, and I think we should use that when it's something good. Mm-hmm. You know, the child is kind, and there's really nobody around going, yay, way to go, you were kind.
Yeah.
But that's when we say, you know what, God sees everything, and then you get that planted in their brain. And so then when they want to do something bad, they go, oh, yeah, God sees everything.
Right, yeah.
Rewarding good behavior, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. yeah, because he does see everything. That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, we talk about consequences a lot in our house, and those are good or bad. You know, every decision you make, every choice you make has a consequence, and it's not mom or I saying, okay, you know, now this is going to happen to you because you chose that. It's you made this decision, you chose it. That means you don't have your iPod for a week or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as far as negotiations, those are skills that we need all the way through life.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, I never had actually, I guess, a job interview that I can remember anymore. But one son telling the other son, now, when you go in for this job interview and they start to talk about money, make them go first, you know, because what's the old saying? The person who says the amount first is the one who loses, quote unquote. But those kinds of skills, being a good listener.
Right. And I think, Ted, what you said about consequences is a huge part of the negotiations, because a lot of times a teenager is not going to look at the consequences for a decision that they make.
Yeah.
And that's part of a parent's responsibility as you're in negotiations, as you're talking about a decision. Have you thought about the consequences? What could happen here? And that was one of the things with our son that I was talking about on that girl-boy party. Matthew, mm-hmm. have you ever thought, you know, well, that's not going to happen? Well, you know, let's talk about some of the consequences, some of the things that can happen. So I think that's excellent. And then as children or teenagers, kids make decisions, then they do suffer consequences for both the good and bad choices.
Right. And when you negotiate, what does that mean? Everybody gives a little, takes a little. And what happens then? Well, whatever decision is made, the teenager feels like they have ownership in it. Maybe not 100% ownership, but at least partial ownership.
And what we use, too, a lot of times is when the kids would tell us about friends, you know, where something bad happened or it was this or that or the other thing, use that as a teaching moment, too, and just say, well, let's talk about that. What do you think about that? And what do you, and then all of a sudden you get to hear kind of how their brain processes and thinks through that. And that, I think that gives us a real keen insight into what they would do in a similar situation. And it's a great teachable moment.
Yes, and absolutely. Looking for those and taking advantage of those. And you said something really brilliant there, PK, too. You said, what do you think about that? You asked the child that. Because it is a teachable moment, isn't a time, now I have an opportunity to give a lecture on this.
Yeah.
No,
mm-hmm.
no.
Yeah.
It's a time to dialogue about it, really with you, you know, priming the pump, but your teenager taking the lead in how did they feel, what was their evaluation mm-hmm. of what happened.
Right, and you said one other thing that's very important, and that's teaching the process.
Yeah.
What is the process? You know, how do our kids go through making good choices?
Mm-hmm.
And parents have the responsibility to help their kids learn how to go through that process of making good choices.
John and Kendra Smiley joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings. Links to their book, Be the Parent, up at myfaithradio.com. You know, I just had to do this recently. My wife and I, our daughter, our oldest, was opening her bedroom window on the second level of our home and going out on the roof. And we thought, well, that's my wife is actually like, oh, she likes it up there. She likes reading up there. She says that's where she feels close to God and things like this. And then our younger daughter started to go out there, too. And I just said, you know, no, this isn't a good idea. We got to stop this. This is dangerous, you know. And so we had to sit them down and have this discussion. And they didn't like that. They thought, you know, nothing's going to happen. And I said, no, it's a safety issue. So we made that decision. But it was hard. I'll be honest. I mean, it was tough. It's something they really enjoyed. And they were coming up with, quote unquote, good reasons in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
At least, and especially when my oldest said, that's where I feel really close to God.
I'm like,
oh,
God card. She gave you the God card.
She gave it to me. But,
yeah.
So, I mean, just maybe say some encouragement for parents that are struggling with, oh, this is something that really brings them joy. It's going to cause a division between me and my son or daughter.
No, I think that's an excellent point, because that's the point when you are the parent. You have to be the parent, and you make a decision even though the kids don't understand, and you're taking the responsibility, and you make the decision. And that's exactly right. It doesn't make any difference. As the parent, you're the one in charge. Very, very important.
Right, because you are older, and you are wiser, and you have, you know, they may be very bright, but they don't have the experience you have because you're a generation older.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're also, what I always think of, too, I'm paving the way for my grandchildren and how they're going to be raised. So
that's true.
You guys understand
one can
that
only
one.
Hope.
Thank you guys so much. It's so. I think this is so important because there's so many things and culture is always pressing on us, and it's so important to be the parent. And we truly appreciate your practical tips that you bring to us every other week.
Thank you. Yeah, we feel if you spend 18 years, those hands-on parenting years, being the parent, you got a much better shot at being the friend later.
Mm-hmm.
Good words. Thank you. We'll check in with you again in a couple weeks, John and Kendra.
Great.